Come on down, Hudson. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We'll get in the message this morning. Yes, we are. They are beautiful. They do. They sure do. They enjoy it. They're listening, and Tay plays a tambourine back here with the music. I hear him back here hitting that tambourine. It's awesome. Spiritual warfare. Look at your neighbor and say, we're in a battle. We are in a battle. Now, I'm going to talk this morning about what the Bible says about spiritual warfare. And we are in a battle in our everyday lives. We're in a battle with our family, battle in our country, battle in the world. We call it different things, though, in today's world. We call it a cultural battle, a political battle, but it all stems to a spiritual battle. It's really what it is. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting, as we'll read, spiritual wickedness in high places. And we see a nation and a world and a people that is changing. Just because you don't think it's sin doesn't mean it's not. Just because the world legalizes sin doesn't mean it's right. And as Christians, it doesn't make us haters to stand against that. It makes us followers of Christ. And there's a big difference. And I'm tired of being bullied by those that don't agree with me and put me in a box of saying, you're not tolerant, you don't understand, you don't love all people. They love the people that don't follow Christ or his ways love to use Matthew 7. Judge ye not, lest ye be judged. Oh, they love that verse. But you know what? Because we stand up for truth doesn't mean we're placing judgment against someone's life. It just means I'm standing up for God's truth. That's between you and God, your lives. That's between how you and God want to. That's between you and God, your life. I'm not your judge. I can't do anything against your life. But I can stand for what I believe is truth, whether you like it or not. And it doesn't make me bad or mean. It makes me a child of God. We should reflect the word of God in our lives. And there are things in our lives that God gives us clear pictures of how we should conduct ourselves. But we are in a battle, and the enemy is always attacking, and the enemy is always coming against us. The enemy is always trying to deceive us. We're going to read what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and go through some points. And this is a very familiar chapter to most of us. It's the armor of God, where Paul was talking about how to stand as a believer. Now, in this chapter, Paul is going to give examples of pieces of armor. And for you that's been in the service, you will relate to this. He gives a very clear picture of how to protect ourselves against the enemy, just like we're in battle, because we are in a battle. You know, I find it really strange how this works. You know, I remember waking up one morning 3 years ago, I guess now it's been about 3 years ago, waking up one morning and hearing the news that all 50 states have legalized a man marrying a man and a woman marrying a woman. And I'm like, where did that come from? How did that happen? I didn't vote for that. Did y'all vote in that vote at all? Did you have a voice in it? I had no voice in that. It just happened. And so I understand that we love people, and we do love people. But church, I'm never going to stand here and say it's okay for a man to lie with a man and a woman to lie with a woman. I'm just going to, let's just talk about the science of this, okay? It don't make sense. It is not natural, and it doesn't work, and it doesn't do what God created it to do, which is reproduce and replenish the earth. It doesn't work. And so we have a generation now that's not good enough. You know, I want to be able to marry my boyfriend and my girlfriend. Okay, whatever, that's your deal. Now we're in a generation to where we want to pick what gender we are to begin with. I don't like being a girl. I'm going to be a boy. I don't like being a boy. I'm going to be a girl. And now we have colleges. I'm talking about colleges who are, you're paying, you know, $20,000 a year and going in debt for the next 10 or 15 years of your life to learn this principle. We're not going to use pronouns anymore. We're not going to use she and he or Mr. or Mrs. Church, We've lost our minds. Lost our minds. I don't care what side of the fence you're on. This is not a political debate. It's a spiritual war we're in. Spiritual war. It doesn't even make any sense anymore. And we celebrate that. That Bruce Jenner, whatever her name is now, has got a whole reality show. And people pay and watch it. He's making millions off being a fruitcake. God made him a certain way. Why do we want to change that? We're in a spiritual warfare where the devil is telling us lies about what we should be. God created us by his hand. And I understand that, Pastor, you're old. You're an Xer. You don't understand us millennials. You don't understand the next generation behind you. I understand it very. I got three kids in that generation. I very much understand it. And we and Mel are very clear with all three of our children what we believe. And even if they don't believe that, it sure don't change how we believe. Hey, Ashley, has me and Mama's beliefs changed over the years since you've been a child? Not at all. Even when our own kids are acting like knuckleheads, we ain't gonna change. They can argue their blue in the face, but Dad, I don't care. Live your life. That's you. I'm not changing. And it's not because I'm stubborn like Doc. It's not like that at all. It's because I have a spiritual understanding of truth. And that truth's not changed because someone says, you know, I'll be changed. That's barbaric to feel that way. No, it's called being a follower. You know what Paul did throughout the Bible? Now, you want to get, I'm talking Bible today. I'm not talking me. We're going to get into Scripture. Paul went around all the time preaching to cities about their corruptness, about their idol worship, about their sin. He went to Corinth and says, you fornicators. My Lord. Imagine saying that today. It'd be all over YouTube. Oh, my Lord. Pastors preaching hate speech. Paul went around preaching against fornication. He preached against drunkenness. He preached against adultery. He preached against sexual perversion. He preached against, bless you, hallelujah. He preached against homosexuality. He preached against these things. He talked to governors. He talked to leadership. He talked to councils and let them know, look, this is not the way of the Lord. Nothing to do with politics. It's all about the spiritual warfare that we're in. So Paul talks about this in chapter 6. Now, warfare, as we know, means to be in conflict. And there are two opposing wheels in the earth right now, evil and good. Two opposing wheels. There's God and his angels, and there's Satan and his demons. And there are two opposing wheels trying to take control of your life. And there's a battle going on inside your mind and inside your heart. The first thing in having victory is to recognize where the battle's coming from. And it's not about who the president is. It's not about who's in leadership. It's not about the church. It's not about how you were raised. It comes all down to this. We are in a spiritual warfare. And we are fighting things we can't see. We are fighting principalities and powers in another realm that are totally trying to control and attack our lives and take us down. So we need to know how to stand in these evil days. We need how to stand and fight in these evil days and not be afraid. We have the victory because the enemy is under our feet, but we let him rise from our feet and get back into our hearts. And we got to stop allowing him to control our lives because he is defeated. Chapter 6, verse 10, Paul says this, finally, my brethren, the word finally actually translates into continue on, henceforth, keep doing this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the deceits of the devil. So Paul tells us we're in a fight. Let's identify that. Let's recognize that. For those Christians that say, I'm a Christian, and you know what, I'm saved, I shouldn't have any battles. Why do I have battles if I'm saved? Why am I being attacked if God's got me? Why am I being attacked? Because we are in a battle, and we will be until the day the Lord returns. Through every season, we're going to be in a battle. But it doesn't mean that we have to lose the battle. It means we got to recognize we're in a battle. Because the devil is very subtle. And he makes us think things that aren't truths, and his lies can get into our hearts, and it can take over our lives. We must stand on the truth of God no matter what the world says. And we have seen our culture shift drastically in the last few years to where what used to be called a sin is now called acceptable. What used to be not right is now your choice. And we're seeing things. There's a lot of people that preach about we have to separate church and state. And to a degree, I agree with that. To a degree, I do. But when the state begins to legalize and pass laws that contradict God's word, that puts it in my corner, folks. You know, I know we have a thing called pro-life, pro-choice. Big debate. Always is a hot topic. You want to get, you know, you want to get a pro-choice person mad, just, oh, man, I got, well, just look at them. But if you want to get a pro-choice person mad, just talk to them about that issue and watch how they will flare up. This isn't a state issue. It's a spiritual issue. You can serve 10 years in prison for abusing a dog, but we can take a child out of the womb and destroy its life. We need to understand we're in a spiritual battle. It's one of the leading causes of death for children in America is abortion. Not car wrecks, not overdoses, not murders. Abortion. Where we are legally as a nation, saying it's okay to take this life out of the womb and end it. Now, we know that life's with God. That's not the concern. The concern is, what are we thinking as a nation, as a people? We are in a spiritual battle. You know, something else, and I'm just going to say this, and I know some of you, look, I'm not a fool. Some of you in this church participate in what I'm about to say. So I don't need nobody to say amen, or I feel guilty about this. I'm just going to say it like it is, because to me, I see what it's causing firsthand. I know what this causes. We are in a nation that is trying to legalize the use of recreational marijuana. Not a big deal, preacher. It ain't a hard drug. Don't affect my life. Don't change nothing. I've seen firsthand in my life what the use of pot and a regular marijuana smoker can cause. I've seen it, and I know. You know what's happening? The Bible speaks against that as well. Oh, no, Pastor. Genesis 1:27. I've heard it. Every herb yielding seed. God made things to fill our appetite and to keep us fed, not to keep us high. When our judgment is altered, we are no longer sober-minded. We no longer make right decisions. Now, I know it's quiet because I'm hitting some toes this morning. I'm here to tell you, if this nation, if North Carolina legalizes this, you are going to see drastic changes. I have talked to local police officers here in this county that I know that I'm friends with that have said since Colorado passed that 4 years ago, all the problems it's caused in Colorado, all the problems. Because guess what? You still can't get a job if you can't pass weed, even though it's legal, because it's a state law, not a federal thing. So in Colorado, they still got to pass a drug test. Hey, dude, I want a job. Here's a cup. What happened, man? It's legal. Sorry, can't hire you. It opens the door for the enemy to come into your life. I want you to hear this and mark my words. When this day happens, and it will happen. There's no doubt it will happen. Even in the South, it's going to happen. It's going to cause problems. You know how many deaths are alcohol-related in America a year? Once again, church, there's a reason that God has things in his word. We legalized alcohol, too, a long time ago, didn't we? Are any of y'all old enough to remember dry counties? Couldn't buy no alcohol. It's illegal to get it. So we legalize alcohol, don't we? Now you can get it anywhere. Man, you can get it at some churches. You know, communion. It's everywhere. I mean, it's everywhere. Alcohol is accessible, it's easy to get, and it's everywhere, and it's legal. But the problems that it causes in the lives of so many people, legal problems, health problems, marriage problems, family problems, a lot of issues. So just because we legalize something, oh, it's okay now, we've legalized it. Okay, if they legalized adultery, boy, that'd be a good one, wouldn't it? What? Well, it's not illegal, that's true, it's just, it's immoral, there you go. If you want to keep your wife or husband, it's not smart to do, that's true. I'm just saying, whatever we legalize doesn't make it right. We're in a spiritual battle. So we have seen in our country the last few years a shift in sexual orientation. Anything goes. Okay. Marijuana use, that's okay. Abortion, that's okay. Do you see what's happening here? Things are happening around us. And we're sitting around thinking that's not a big deal when it's okay and it's church is not okay. We're in a spiritual battle, and the devil wants to get you on his side, and he just needs a little opening to get in there and take over your life and distort the truth. Let's get into some word here. Verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are not battling. It's not a fight between two people. When you're fighting someone, you're fighting what's in them. The rage that comes out of them is not them. It's the demons inside of them. The rebellion you're fighting is not them. It's the demons inside of them. That's what we're fighting. So we have to know what the battle is. We get mad at the person. Don't get mad at the person. Get mad at Satan and his demons for what he's trying to do in your family's life. And stand up and put that armor on and say, I'm a soldier of the Lord. And I'm going to stand strong and I'm not going to be moved. I don't care what they say. We need God's people to look like God's people. For all of you that say this, and I know I hit some nerves, it's okay, church. It's okay. I'm at a point, anyway. For all of you that don't agree with my last statement, especially about marijuana, what would you think of me if you saw me in the Walmart parking lot smoking a joint? It's legal, Ken. It's not a drug. It's a plant. It doesn't change me. Right. Think about the old saying, if Jesus was standing there, what would you do? And don't none of you dare say he would join me. Because he wouldn't. He wouldn't, church, I'm telling you. We need to be very careful about that. It's wrong. Yeah, right. We honor, right, right. Right. God's law comes first. Yes, but then there's man's law. We do honor. And church, I'm going, if the county commissioners come out here and said that, you know, your sign's against a county ordinance, your church sign's too big, make a smaller one. I'm not going to buck against that. I'm going to get a petition. That sign staying, by God, that sign staying, that's my right. No, I understand. That makes like a fool and like a disobedient servant of the law. I'm going to obey that. Now, if they come in and say you can no longer preach against homosexuality or you can no longer mention the cross, that's a different story. That violates something biblical. So, yes, we follow man's laws, but also God's law comes first. And so when you think about what is right and wrong, think about if you saw your pastor doing certain things, would you think that was right or wrong? Well, if it's wrong for me to do it, guess what? It's wrong for you to do it. It's because I'm a pastor, don't mean I'm any better. It's just God called me, but this is what he called me to do. So if it's wrong for me, it's wrong for you if you feel that way. So I just want to make that clear. Thank you very much, Jazz. I love my Golden Girls. They're awesome. I should have took the offering up before this message. Verse 13. Wherefore,
Take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, you stand. Now here he goes into the parts of the armor. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Go to the first slide, Brandon. First piece of this armor is truth. The belt held the other armor together in place. They put weapons in there and it held everything kind of together. Truth will hold you together. When you don't know what to do, find truth, you'll know what to do. And no matter what anybody else says, truth holds things together. Truth is knowing who he is and what he has done. That's truth. I know who you are, God, and I know what you've done for me. So everything else becomes a lie. If it goes against the knowledge of what I know, it becomes a lie from the devil. So I'm not going to believe that lie. I'm going to hold on to your truth. Truth is our anchor. And I know that the Bible is God's word, and I know there's a certain way he wants us as Christians to live. And because the world says it's okay does not mean it's okay. Did you know back in the old days, somebody shares on Facebook, if a teacher got pregnant, I'm talking about a married teacher, they couldn't teach school no more? Way back like in the 20s and 30s. Isn't that what I said if they got pregnant? No, it wasn't married. Never mind. It was not married is what it was. Not married. They couldn't teach anymore. They weren't married. We have come a long way from saying, I don't hurt your feelings, that's okay, to say, what does God's word say about this? God's word is for our benefit, not for our harm. It's to help our lives. And you know what? If we do things God's way, don't things normally turn out a little bit better? I mean, look at our lives. When we rebel and do it the other way, it's misery. God, I trust you. This is the truth that I know. I know who you are. I know what you've done. And I'm going to hold on to who you are in my life. That is truth. The next piece of this is righteousness. Righteousness is moral conduct. The way we live, if we live for God, it keeps us from his grip. Think about that. Something's went away with moral conduct now because nobody doesn't know what morals are anymore. There was a day that character meant something. There was a day that living for Jesus and not wanting your name smeared meant something. And now it just doesn't have quite that same oomph anymore. But you know what? We can still live a moral... Look, for people to say, you know, well, I know I cuss, but I'm around all the time. I was too. I rode a school bus. I went to school. I'm around people that cuss all the time. Don't make me a cusser because they cuss. Quit using that as a lame excuse, man. Have some moral conduct. Say, you know what? Filthy communication, corrupt communication, loose talk should not even be coming out of my mouth as a believer in God. Well, and I just get so mad. So? I get mad too. Melanie gets mad too. Ashley gets mad at both of us. There ain't no foul language coming out of our mouths. There's something about righteousness, to know that I'm saved by his grace, and that grace should cause me to live a life that reflects him. I don't have to be like the world because everybody else is doing it. Oh my gosh. You know, I know that a lot of people are doing drugs, but everybody's not doing drugs. I'm not doing drugs. Mel, you doing drugs? Ashley, you doing drugs? My mom, you doing drugs? Brenda, you doing drugs? Okay, that's five people. Everybody ain't doing drugs. So we got to quit blaming everybody else's surrounding for our lifestyle. Stand up and be who God called you to be. We're in a spiritual warfare. And he wants to get us to do things like the world. He wants us to talk like the world and act like the world and be like the world so he can have a grip on our lives and control us. Whenever we surrender to what the devil wants, we become part of his pawn. We're his pawn, like a chess piece, where he moves us from here to here to here to here. And we're told his control. I'm not going to let the devil have control over what God's already bought. I am the property of Jesus Christ. I've been bought. No trespassing here, Satan, period. We've got to look at our lives and say, God, as a soldier, where do I need to be? What do you want me to be? How do you want me to act? How do you want me to conduct myself? How can I resist being a part of what the devil is trying to entrap me to be? We are in a battle. Our TV shows are raunchy. Our cartoons are raunchy. Things are raunchy everywhere that we go. People have no respect anymore. They F-bomb all around you in a Walmart line. They don't care anymore. There's loose talk just all around you. Blaring music in the parking lot going through with so many cuss words. It's so many beeps like the Roadrunner going after Cody. You know, beep, 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 beep. I'm like, how can you even hear the song? Why do we let that stuff come into our hearts? It damages us. For some of you soldiers, there's a term called PTSD. Did I say that right? PTSD. Do you realize the devil can cause PTSD in your life too? As he gets you on this road of all this evil and all this darkness, then we begin to suffer and we have pain and we have issues from all the stuff he's caused us to walk in and see. Why are we allowing him to control our lives like that? We are soldiers of God. He is our general. I report to him and him alone. Next verse. Verse 15. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The Roman soldiers had special shoes they would put on during battle to prepare them to aggressively go out. And we are to be prepared, and we are to take the fight to Satan. We're not to sit back and let him rule. We are to be on the offensive and rebuke him and bind him and speak against what he's trying to do. We need to be. This is why praise and worship is so important. You know what you're doing? You're taking the offensive. When you begin to praise and worship, you're on the offense. And you are deflecting the things the enemy is trying to bring against your life. Because, man, it's hard to worship Jesus and be full of the devil at the same time. That's why the ones that were smiling, guess what? They full of Jesus. The ones you weren't, I don't know. Just saying. It's hard to praise Jesus and be full of the devil. Look at this next point about our feet being prepared. Peace is part of our armor. Take the fight to him knowing we will win. We're going to win the battle, but sometimes we got to fight. We can't just sit back. The devil is always trying to attack. That's why we speak against what he's trying to do. That's why we pray over our homes, over our families. We cover it with the blood of Jesus. We attack. No, you're not going to come here and take over my house, my family, my thoughts, my mind, my life, my future. You're not going to keep me in my past. I'm overcoming through the blood of Jesus by the word of my testimony. I'm overcoming. I'm going to be prepared and ready to attack at any moment because I'm not going to let you just come in here and roll all over me. And we do that sometimes. It's easier to give in than it is to fight. And the devil knows that. Have your feet ready to go and take the fight to him. Next verse. Above all, taking the shield of faith, where we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And they're so attacking our lives. You know, I know when Christian went to UNCG, she had a, you know, she was very different than most of the people she went to school with because pretty much all colleges are very liberal in their thinking, their theology, their teaching. And she felt very alone many times. She would call home and talk to us. I mean, I feel like I'm the only one that's like me here, you know. She did find some Christian friends connected to a church there in Greensboro, but for a while it was very different for her because she was surrounded by people that weren't like her at all. And what I'm so proud of is that she stood her ground during those formidable, early, impressionable years. Mom and Dad wasn't there to hold her hand. Mom and Dad wasn't there to say, no, no, that's wrong thinking, Christian. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't do this. Don't say that. Don't think that. She had to figure that out on her own, on her journey. And in a world that she was surrounded with such different ideology, different beliefs, some no beliefs, she stood her ground as a Christian woman of faith. And said, you know what? I know what I believe. The truth's keeping me grounded. Man, when you know the truth, when you really know the truth, see, it's kind of like how God revealed the true power of grace in my life many, many years ago. For many years, I struggled with salvation. Is it grace? Is it works? And God began to really reveal to me what grace was. And since I've had that truth revealed, I had a woman call me on the phone in the morning. She don't go to church here. You would know her, but she don't go to church here. She visits every now and then. She has her own church. She called me one morning before service and says, I want you to know, you taught a message one Sunday. I happened to be there. You taught a message about grace. And she began to cry on the phone and said, it changed my life. I was so scared every day I might go to hell because I wasn't doing exactly what God wanted me to do. But when you told me and showed me what grace really was and what Jesus really did for me, it changed my whole life. I've got peace now every day. That's a powerful thing. And when you know the truth, I don't care what the devil says. Look, do I always act like a child of God? No. Am I always the perfect, holy Pastor James? No. Do I think things wrong? Yep. Say things wrong? Yep. Do things wrong? Yep. But I know that the grace of Jesus covers me. And because my faith is in Him and the work He did alone at Calvary, I know I'm His child. And I've got peace every day to realize I know my future secure through Him. That's a truth I hold on to. It's a truth we all should hold on to as Christians. Look at my next point, the shield of faith. Faith's a big part of our walk, of course. Faith is believing His promises and not Satan's lies. I'm going to believe God's promises, not Satan's lies. We just sung that song, Armies, God of Angel Armies. I hold on to Your promises, God. Do we believe God's promises? Because if we don't really believe God's promises, we are going to believe Satan's lies. It's very important we believe God's promises. Because if we don't believe that, we'll believe anything else Satan puts in front of us. But when he comes with his lies, I know who I am in Christ. I'm redeemed. I'm a child of God. I know my future, Satan. The Bible tells my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I already know the new heaven, new earth coming down. You know, where there'll be no more tears, no more crying, no more sorrow, no more pain. The former things are passed away. Write these things down, for they are true and they are faithful. I know that. I already know what the Bible says. God, what prayer place for me that where I am, where He is, I may be also. There are many dwelling places, many mansions in my Father's house. I know those promises. I already know them. I know what the Bible says, but it says that all shall not sleep, but all shall be changed. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead shall be raised incorruptible. I know that. Those are truths that I know. So when we know those truths, and by faith we believe those promises, no matter how intense the battle gets, I know in the end that the war has been won. I fight here, yes, but I have peace to know my future is secure in Christ, and the battle's won, and I will see Him face to face. We're in spiritual warfare, and the world wants to call it a lot of other things, but it's spiritual. I want you to think about this. What causes a 20-year-old man to all of a sudden want to become a woman? There's something at work deeper than flesh and blood. There's something deeper than that, church. What causes a man to want to sleep with a man like he does a woman? There's something deeper than that. And it's not, doesn't mean they're a bad person. It doesn't mean God doesn't love them, but there's a spiritual battle going on over their lives to cause that kind of behavior. Because it's not a natural, God-given behavior. God made men to like pretty women. And that's why I married one. Thank you. And God made women to like good-looking men. And that's why Melly married me. No amens on that one? Okay. I can't tell you what Jazz said at service before I walked in the door. A little jab at my goatee. It's our little secret, but she likes it. I'll just say that. There's just something. God made things the way they're supposed to be made. And what's happened is, because of spiritual warfare, the enemy has warped the ideology. And he's making us think things that aren't true. Let me just say this. And look, I know even in this church, this country, mostly conservative church, we have this battle going on even here. Maybe not this morning, but we have this battle in the thought process of some that come here. Did you know that transgender is not a gender? There's only two genders. There's only two genders. We can say all we want, but it's not a... There's two genders. I mean, I think even, you know, Tay knows you're born a girl or a boy, right, Tay? There's boys and girls. You're born one or the other. There's no such thing as a transgender gender. It's something that we have created because we're trying to create something that God did not create. So we're making it up as we go. There's no such thing. But we have a world believing. We have a generation coming up behind us. Me and Melly have talked about this. She said this last night in the car. She goes, you know what? We'll take care of the baby boomers. But my Lord, who will take care of us? If a person don't even know what they are, how are they going to take care of anybody else? They can't take care of themselves. They can't figure out their own lives. Spiritual battle. Spiritual. You see these protests in the streets of hate. You don't see, I'm going to tell you, for the most part, I'm not saying they're not exceptions. There are exceptions. As a whole, you do not see Christian people out protesting with anger, burning stuff down, screaming in the faces of others, and being derogatory toward them. But you sure see the other side do that to us. If I was to hold a sign out here in front of the church on a Saturday, or go downtown just holding a sign saying, choose life, that's God's way, I would have so much hate spewed at me for that without me saying a word. Hate spewed at me. I would have middle fingers going up. I'd have all over simply stating, God's way is life. I'm not going to do that. If I see someone holding a sign, I'm for abortion, there won't be one cuss word comes out. I ain't going to go jerk the sign out of their hand and burn it down and step on it like it's like a little three-year-old. Take your sign out of your hand. We don't respond that way because we're a people of love and integrity. And you know what? When you're walking in truth, you ain't got to act that way. Think about that. When you're really walking in truth, and you know. It's kind of like the old saying, when you're in charge, when you're really the boss, you ain't got to tell somebody you're the boss, right? You don't need a coffee cup on your desk saying, I am the boss. You don't need a tag saying, James Lewis, the head kahuna. You don't need that. Bless you again. When you're in charge, people know it. We are in spiritual warfare. People are angry and they're mad. And we see what's happening now against the president of this country right now. What's happening with the anger and the rage. Whether you like him or not, there's a process. Whether you like him or not, he was elected by God. President Obama was elected by God. Every president has been covered and elected by the will of God. The Bible's clear on that. The Bible says, if you don't believe me, it's in Hebrews. It says, the powers that are to be are ordained by God. So we need to be careful. But we got so much anger spewing out that people can't even contain themselves. Spiritual warfare is what we're battling. Next verse. Walk in faith, he won't believe his lies. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Let's talk about the helmet of salvation. Salvation, not talking about to get saved. You're talking to the ones that are saved. When we wear the helmet of salvation, we are wearing the assurance we belong to him. I belong to you, God. I'm assured of that. And you know what a helmet does? Protects your head, right? Protects your mind. Symbolically, I'm going to let the assurance of who I am protect the thoughts that come into my mind. I know I belong to God. That's part of my armor. So when Satan talked, look, no, I don't belong to you, Satan. I ain't got to listen to you. When the serpent first came in the garden and talked to Adam and Eve, if Eve would have resisted, things would have been different, right? If Eve would have said, I'm not talking to you, I don't belong to you, I'm not going to entertain you, God created me, I trust him, his promises, I do not trust your lies. But even in the beginning, he was very deceitful, and he made something look very pretty that appealed to the appetite of Eve. So whatever it was that was presented to her was such that it overcame her natural senses, and she succumbed to it. But then the devil didn't show the aftermath of what would happen after she succumbed. Now here's the long-term effect. That's what the devil does. And what we're seeing in our country is laws that are being passed, we're having long-term effects. Years and decades of damage because of that. How many children have been slaughtered since 1973? Millions and millions and millions and millions of innocent lives. All in the name of it's okay. It's not okay in God's eyes. It's not okay according to God's word. When I know I belong to him, that keeps me grounded in battle. Then when the devil comes to attack me, I belong to God, not to you. My heart's been given to God. It's kind of like that movie Sweet Home Alabama. Y'all seen that movie Sweet Home Alabama? Good movie. And there's a scene in there where, what's her name, Reese Witherspoon? Yeah. They don't know Melanie, though. Reese Witherspoon says a line. She said, the truth is, I gave my heart away a long time ago. Think about that with God. When the devil comes to attack you, the truth is, Satan, I gave my heart to God a long time ago. He's got me. I'm not going to listen to you no more. I've listened to you far too long. Why am I letting the lies of the enemy keep me bound? The Bible says he's an accuser of the brethren, and he is a liar. And he also says he's a thief. He cometh to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his mission. We are in spiritual battle, spiritual battle. When someone rapes someone, that's a spiritual issue. When someone hurts someone, that's a spiritual issue. These are spiritual battles going on inside of people. Mental illness, spiritual battles. Spiritual battles happening. Warfare happening. Know the fight and know how to fight. Number six. This is the word of God, he says, which is the sword of the Spirit. We use what God said to attack Satan. Jesus did that. Remember when he was tempted in the wilderness? Jesus used three verses from his own word to attack and get the devil to go away. We use God's word to attack Satan. When he tells us something, we come back with the word of God that fits what he's trying to attack our lives with. If he attacks you with lies of you are not worthy, God doesn't love you, then you attack him with, for God so loved the world, which is me, Satan, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall have everlasting life. We use the word of God against him when he attacks. There's something about that that moves things, it shakes things up. It sets things in order. Is that my last? Oh, I got one more verse. Verse 18, we close with this part of our fight. We pray always with all prayer, all supplication in the Spirit, and watching with all preservation and supplication for the saints. We're continually are praying for our battles, and we're praying for the battles of each other. Something about prayer is pretty powerful. You know what prayer is? Prayer is allowing God to fight for us. Praying is trusting God. I give you this, God, and I trust you're going to take what I'm praying for, and you're going to deliver on this prayer. I'm going to put it in the mailbox, God, my prayer, and you deliver it. You take it to where it needs to go and plant it right there. Praying is important. We are soldiers of God, and we are in a spiritual battle. I know this message this morning was a little different than how I normally preach. This is the message God gave me today. and I hope you will hear it and receive it, and I hope you will not be offended by the message, but instead you will embrace the message. To look at my life and say, you know what? Man, yeah. There's things in my life the devil is always trying to pull me into, and I must resist. I must resist. We are in a battle. And there is still something to say about standing as a Christian in this, the Bible even says that, this crooked, perverse generation, right? Stand strong. There's always been bad generations, always. Prostitution was happening in the very beginning. Sodom and Gomorrah, there was homosexuality and sexual perversion all throughout the city, so much it was destroyed because of it. There's always been sin. There's always been drunkenness. There's always been sexual perversion. There's always been these things. But it doesn't mean they're right. And as we look at our lives, let's say, God, I'm your soldier. And I'm in a spiritual battle. And there's things in my life maybe I need to shed that will help me in my fight. I've let the devil have this part of me too long. And I need to let it go. Because it's holding me back. It's keeping me bound. It's keeping me broken. And I don't want to be broken no more. I want to be fixed. The church should look different than the world. Do y'all agree with that? Yes. I'm not talking about how we dress. I'm talking about how we live. Man, the church ought to be different than the world. There's no reason a born-again child of God should be going around using bad language. There's no reason a child of God should be around with drunkenness and getting high. There's no reason for that. Not as a child of God. Not if we say we're different. Then be different. And don't be ashamed to be different. Man, be different. And stand up for what truth is. There's still a moral code that hasn't changed and it never will change. I don't care who says what is legal, it doesn't make it so. Sin is sin. It'll always be sin. No matter how many people try to say it's not sin anymore. I remember, you know, bad cuss words didn't even show up on TV till about the mid-70s. Because I remember growing up and I watched The Jeffersons. Remember those Jeffersons? Funny show. But old George say a few cuss words in that show sometimes. That's back in the mid-70s. You know? And then we just progress from there, don't we? It just gets worse and worse and worse and worse. We've allowed the culture to come inside of us, and we shouldn't do that. We should be helping change the culture. We're God's people. We're the church. The church should be different. The church should live like the church. If people are surprised that you go to church on Sunday, then you've got a problem. If you go to work tomorrow, we had a good service yesterday. You go to church? If they do that, there's a problem. Look in the mirror and say, why do they say that? They shouldn't even question that. Margie, come on up here and play a little something. I want to close out in prayer this morning. Let's stand to our feet together if you would with me this morning. Father, we know we're in a spiritual war right now. We're in a battle. I pray for strength for your saints here today, that you give us the strength to stand in the middle of all the junk, that you guard our mouths, you guard our ears, you guard our eyes, you guard our feet where they go, that you help us, God, become what you called us to become, and that we are a light, a true light, not a dimmed light, not an altered light, not a shady light. But we are a bright light, that the world sees that we are different because you have changed our lives. Give us the strength to stand when evil comes our way. Give us the strength to overcome when temptation comes our way. Let your Holy Spirit within us rise up to the occasion and overtake us in moments of weakness. That God, we stand strong on your word. We don't compromise. We're not moved away like the tides of the sea. We're not tossed about to and fro, but God, we're grounded in your word. We're grounded as your soldiers of who you are, knowing we're in a fight, and we're going to fight for good and not surrender to evil. Strengthen your saints today, God, and pour your power upon us today, that we leave this place with a new hope of being what you want us to be. That, God, we have a new motivation to say, yes, Lord, I want to stand in this world and be your child that all will see. I pray against the attacks of the enemy in this place that are trying to seduce and deceive those into lies that will destroy their lives. I pray for truth to be heard, for your voice to be heard, God, for your name to be lifted high above every lie, above every noise, above every sound that would utter its words against those that are listening. That you, God, will be exalted above all, and that your strength and your power will be felt. Fill your people today with a newfounded strength to overcome and fight this battle of evil and stand in the day of darkness. In Jesus' name, I declare this. And the people said,